Before I start this week's show, just a quick note. I entitled this week's episode, Before Boston, So Who Cares? And that's, of course, because we recorded this episode early Monday UTC, which was quite a few hours before the bombs went off at the Boston Marathon, kicking off an absolutely intense week of news events. Of course, we had everything going on in Boston. As I'm putting this together right now, it is Friday. And I just spent all night from Thursday to Friday watching live coverage of what was going on in Boston. Have not slept a wink and will be heading to work slightly. See, I'm tired. Heading to work shortly on no sleep whatsoever because I stayed up all night doing that. Fun stuff. Not fun stuff. The opposite of fun stuff. But very intense. Lots of stuff going on in Boston. We also had, you know, some other sort of less dramatic events, but there were quite a few other news things going on this week too, even if you didn't have Boston exploding. So this is one of those weeks where I'm like, I really wish my schedule was such that I could record the show and then immediately after put it out. And instead of having, you know, the next real slot I have that I can easily do it being early Friday morning or Friday morning before work. So I apologize. This whole episode will sort of seem like, what the hell are they talking about? I can't believe they're talking about this stuff. What about all the stuff that just blew up in Boston? But, you know, we recorded it before any of that happened. I'm sure Yvonne and I will talk about all of those things on the next show. And I apologize for being slow putting these things out. And maybe I can, you know, I know I can put them out quicker. It's just, it's more disruptive to my weekly schedule. So trade-offs. Okay. In any case, with that apologetic note out of the way, here is the Curmudgeon's Corner for, well, April 15th. It's the Curmudgeon's Corner for April 15th. For the week of April 15th. Have fun, enjoy the show, all the usual stuff. We'll talk about all of the exciting events of this week on next week's show. Here you go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, April 15th. 2013. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is back with us this week.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
And of course, just when I was saying the date, I of course realized April 15th, tax day.
Yes, which I just I sent my extension.
You sent an extension? Man. We did.
I incorporated a business. Okay, you know, mm-hmm. for some business that me and my wife do. And I haven't gotten time to do the accounting of it. Now, I know we didn't make a lot of money on it, to be honest, and probably lost money, like, yep. Really. But I just, you know, I got to put together the numbers. And I just, you know, did not have time to do that. I mean, I just have not. So I had to just, you know, just put in a return out. The one thing that bothered me is that I think that because of how the business has turned out in the first year, I may get money back.
There you go.
Because of that.
So I mentioned briefly in last week's show, I did my annual rant on how a lot of this should be automated for most people. Because like my return, there wasn't a single thing on it that wasn't available in documents that either the government had or the government could easily have access to.
It should just be like, I'll show up in a screen, boom, boom, boom. Is this correct? Do you have anything extra? No, click, boom, done. You're out. Yeah.
I mean, and yeah, I know we'd put all kinds of tax preparers out of business, but, you know, I don't care.
Who gives a fuck? I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's a bureaucracy feeding another bureaucracy. I mean, the time that we waste in general over this, my God, you know, so.
But I will say this year, and I think I tweeted this right after the fact, but got a getting a nice healthy refund back, which
all right.
I understand the argument about not wanting to give, you know, tax-free loans to the government, but on the other hand, all I have to say is it's a hell of a lot better than having to write a big check.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, my gosh. Jesus Christ. The last couple of years, I've been having to write big checks. Fuck. Oh, my God. I'm looking at it. I'm like, really? Am I really? I mean, really? I mean, fuck. I mean, it's been, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was much, much happier seeing a really decently sized number on the refund line as opposed to seeing anything on the pay me line.
Yeah, no, agreed. Totally agree with that.
So anyway, we've got a few real topics here. I'll also mention, you know, I've been sick this weekend. It seems like my family just cannot be done with being sick.
Is it a cold?
No. This time it was, you know, something else with me. But my wife has had I don't know, some kind of upper respiratory something problem, you know, since like December. I was off and on sick since September, and it was, you know, and sometimes it was like cold flu type stuff. I had a kidney stone episode in there somewhere, and, you know, I'm on antibiotics again, and I'm much better today than I was yesterday, but I'm still not 100%. And all I can say is, like, the last time everybody in my family was healthy was August.
No, boy.
And like, we haven't all been sick at the same time, although sometimes we have been, but there are four of us, and we haven't all been healthy in months and months and months and months, and it is so annoying. Anyway, we do have a couple real topics. We're going to talk about Bitcoin a little bit, because that kind of blew up this last week. Yvonne said he hadn't even heard of it before the last couple weeks. I'd heard of it before, but really didn't care much. North Korea is still in the news. I know we've talked about it for the last 2 weeks, but they're still doing stuff. And then there were numbers out on PC sales. PC meaning the whole industry, not just any one particular company. So let's get right at it. So let's talk Bitcoin. So Yvonne, you said you hadn't heard about it before this week, but then you started to research it. So, you know, from a fresh perspective here, tell us about this thing, or do you want me to give it?
Well, the thing is, okay, let me see if I understood what I read, because I read about it a little bit, and then I was like a little bit incredulous. I'm like, really, is this thing work? I mean, this is basically like a alternate currency, right?
That's the intention.
These are coins. They are, you know, difficult to forge, right? They have digital features that make it difficult to forge. You can pay with them, and then you can have them, and then you can transfer, you know, it's basically like a totally alternate currency. But did I understand that people were paying for the Bitcoins? It seemed like they were like kind of like tulip bulbs.
So the basic idea here is that you can quote unquote mine a Bitcoin. They call it mining, by running some programs on your computer to calculate, basically solve some mathematical problems. And each new Bitcoin created has to have knowledge of all the existing Bitcoins already out there, because you have to find a new one that's not already in use, essentially. A new solution to the mathematical problem. And it takes quite a bit of computing power to create these, and some folks have, at least at this point, like, it's the kind of thing where the first few were really easy to find, but each subsequent one becomes harder to find. So a number of people have calculated that at this point, to, you know, mine a new Bitcoin costs more in electricity than it does than the value of the Bitcoin.
Wait a minute. Why is that? What are they doing? I mean, I don't understand.
Oh, well, you know, like the you know, like the distributed computing projects to
yes.
find really large prime numbers and things like that.
I see. So you're telling
the same
me
kind of
that
idea.
In order to put the algorithm on it with all the information in order to make it basically so nobody can duplicate it, takes that much computing power that it sucks up that much resources. Is that right?
When you're mining the coin initially, you have to run your computer for a long time to find a new Bitcoin, or okay. you have to have a whole bunch of computers running together to try to get it out. Right.
Right.
So, but anyway, once they're created, they can be bought and sold and traded for things, and you know, because you basically get a. I haven't done the detailed research into this, so forgive me if I've got. But you basically get a digital signature kind of thing that can be passed around. But these also contain the entire transaction history. So each Bitcoin, as it gets transferred from person to person, retains inside itself a record of all the previous transactions that coin was involved in.
Got it. Okay.
So, you know, there are a lot of technical details here that I honestly have not dug into it enough to figure out. But the idea is exactly what you said. It's intended to be a secure digital currency that's created. You know, you can't just make it up out of thin air. It takes a lot of work to create one, so it's not like free money.
Right.
But there's also a limit. There's a theoretical maximum amount that can ever be in circulation, given the mathematical problems that are used within it. And so there's markets for these, buying and trading them, and there are certain places that are accepting them for purchases. And I think a lot of people hoped that this would sort of be, you know, a currency that was independent of any nation and that was therefore less prone to inflation and less prone to the type of, you know, it's not at the whims of central banks.
Right.
It's just whatever it is. Basically, in the last few, this thing has been around for a while. Okay. I remember hearing about it, you know, at least a year ago, probably further. But it didn't really pick up steam until the last few months. I'm looking at a chart of the price of these Bitcoins. And in December, it was around $10, $15 for a Bitcoin. And then it started rising and it was 20 at the beginning of February, 30 at the beginning of March, and then pop, at the beginning of April, it was 130.
Right.
It started getting a lot of press. Some people were talking about it. Some people were talking about how good an idea this was and blah, blah, blah. And it went up, 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 and then it went down.
Right.
You know, as people cashed out of their big-ass winnings on gambling on this particular thing.
Right.
And so now I don't have a current quote. I should go grab a current quote. Anyway, I'll find that while we talk. But I mean, I think this is... There's some interesting things about this, but do I think Bitcoin specifically is going to be, you know, a new world currency that catches on and everybody uses for everything? No. Do I think thing that people will be doing instead of buying gold or something? Not really. Maybe some folks. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I mean, honestly, it depends on how you achieve the value of the Bitcoin, right?
Okay. Right.
You know, say certain, that's the thing that's been intriguing me about this. I mean, you know, you've got central banks and others that, for example, are trying to limit, like, people being able to hoard large amounts of cash in order to launder money. You know, look at what has Cyprus, offshore banking, and everybody's trying to chase down all this money. I mean, obviously, there would be a large interest in a whole bunch of people creating some kind of alternate currency.
Latest quote, by the way, is about $97 for Bitcoin.
$97.
Yeah.
It just depends on what people are willing to pay for it, what you're willing to get back for it. I mean, the thing is that, unless somebody guarantees it and there's some kind of store of value in it, I think it's just going to just crash and just be out of existence.
Well, the question is, you know, I mean, the whole thing with, even though it's fiat currency that is made up out of thin air for, you know, the euro, the dollar, all of these things, they are, you know, backed by the quote unquote full faith and credit of the government.
Oh, right.
And by the, you know, must be treated as legal tender law.
Correct. You right.
know? So, you know, you know, you're going to be able to spend that thing.
That's right.
Whereas with a Bitcoin, you know, maybe you will, maybe you won't. If the fad goes away and everybody's like, yeah, you know, whatever, that was interesting, bye.
Right.
Then you're going to be sitting there with your pile of Bitcoins that you paid money for. And you paid a gazillion dollars
for them, but you're going to have to wipe your ass with them.
If only they weren't digital.
Right.
And so, look, I think that some sort of digital currency is almost inevitable. I mean, we effectively already have that in terms of most transactions at this point being electronic. It's not like people are moving actual paper money around or coins. Almost every transaction is electronically mediated at this point. But it's just right now it's moving. You know, you reduce one person's balance and you increase the other person's balance when you, you know, use your credit card or your debit card or
right.
when you get paid by direct deposit or whatever. The difference with these is sort of that they're trying to be equivalent to cash so that you don't have to have these major banking institutions intermediating these transactions. You can give one of these to your friend and you're all set.
Right.
You know, you don't have to have, you know, you don't have to have a government involved. You don't have to have any bank involved. You can just transfer this back and forth. And while it does have the full history of the transactions, they're not necessarily identifying individuals. You know, it's just, you know, so it's semi, I see, and this is actually one thing that I've read some things saying that Bitcoin is anonymous, and other things saying it absolutely is not. Because one of the aspects of it is, for each Bitcoin to work, it has to know about all the other Bitcoins in existence. So there's actually like a complete transaction history. You can actually download the transaction history of all Bitcoin transfers that have ever been made.
Okay, that's interesting.
At least that's what I heard.
I know.
Could be.
Because I'm just, you know, I don't know.
Although is it, I mean, I'm reading Wikipedia right now. Although it is considered by supporters to be a digital currency, virtual currency, or payment scheme, it is often traded as an investment and accused of being a form of investment fraud known as a Ponzi scheme.
Okay, hang on, Sam. I got to take a break. Hold on.
Okay.
You're in The Valley, AM 1620, and LigonierRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs.
Like this. I hit the radio dial and tuned it up all the way.
I got
classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LigonierRadio.com, The Valley.
Welcome back. Anyway, just a couple more thoughts on this.
So, but here's one thing about it, too. I saw that there were some physical coins for this as well.
No.
Okay. I saw that there's a Bitcoin-based coin. Various vendors offer banknotes and coins denominated in Bitcoins.
Okay, so this is... I'm looking at a picture of one of these damn things.
Right.
And basically what it's got to be is you got to take you take the data you have about your Bitcoin and essentially put it on a USB drive or something and you shove it in a coin.
I guess.
I mean, because you need to have all that digital information there to do it. But one thing, I see a couple quotes here. One is, where was it? Paul Krugman. The economist, basically said, it's fluctuated, but overall it has soared. So buying into it has been, at least so far, a good investment. But that does not make it as does that make it a success? No. What we want from a monetary system isn't to make people holding money rich. We want it to facilitate transactions and make the economy as a whole rich, and that's not what's happening in Bitcoin. I think. Obviously, Krugman comes from a very specific point of view. I think, look, there are a lot of folks out here who are looking at this as some sort of panacea to get out from the influence of government and banks and stuff. And I, for the most part, I think, hey, that's an awesome goal. I don't think Bitcoin is it. The next generation of this, and I've seen people talk about something called Ripple and a few others, but... you know, there may be other iterations of this to come. And I'm sure at some point we will move to some sort of more fully digital as we further divorce ourselves from the idea that money is anything other than an idea. I don't think Bitcoin itself is going to be that thing.
I don't think so either. So, but anyway, but we'll see, you know. I mean,
but you're still going out and buying a bunch of Bitcoins?
No.
No? Are you going to set up your computer to mine Bitcoins continuously?
I don't think so, no. That would be, you know, apparently take a lot of work. I don't have time for this shit.
And that's, of course, the idea. They want it to take some work and some effort to create it because, you know, it's money.
I know.
They want it to be free.
Yeah, I get that. But, you know, hey, not my thing, I guess.
And also, there's like, you know, there have been incidents, just like anything else, you can steal it. There have been a number of incidents where, you know, people have hacked into Bitcoin exchanges and stolen a bunch of Bitcoins on the order of, you know, several hundred thousand dollars worth in various of these incidents. So, you know, and then I guess you sell them. I don't know.
I would guess. I mean, look, if somebody were able to do this on a scale, listen, a lot of people have tried and it had some success. I mean, it would worry a lot of people.
You know, the other thing I've seen is, though, if anybody with a really large amount of computing resources wanted to, like, and I saw one estimate, and I don't have the article in front of me, so I apologize. But if you had a couple million dollars worth of computer hardware dedicated towards mining Bitcoin, you could apparently basically corner the market on Bitcoins and take over the whole thing. And if you are beyond some critical mass, you can actually do some things they were calling something like dividing the streams or something. I'm forgetting the exact name they used. But basically... you could fake out the system and start making it break if you had enough computing resources to put behind it. So
interesting. Well, all right. Well, I mean, it'd be kind of, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But you know what? Like I said, I think that this thing's crashing.
And by the way, I there are a few people on that I've, you know, on Twitter and Facebook that have mentioned that they have some Bitcoins, and I'm like, okay, have fun. You know, I don't think I'm going there.
Nah, I'm not taking all my money from the bank and like putting it into bitcoins.
Yeah, it might be fun to have like one, you know, just to see what.
Maybe
it did.
One, right? But that's it. You know, nice yeah. little gamble.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back after this and talk about our friends in North Korea. We'll be right back. And by the way, if any of you out there do have experience with Bitcoins and perhaps own some or have mined some, drop me a line at ablesmy@ablesmy.com and you know, you can come on the show and talk about Bitcoin if you feel like it. Okay, North Korea. So I talked about North Korea some on the last show, which frankly I recorded like, you know, just over 48 hours ago. So let's hear your thoughts on North Korea at this point, Yvonne. They there's still stuff going on.
I mean,
on.
It's just retarded at this point. I mean, it's just fucking retarded. I mean, it's just an ever continuing escalation
offense to those that, you know, have disabilities. Go ahead.
None whatsoever. Okay. As a matter of fact, I mean, you know, this guy is just what? I'm getting no attention, so let me just continue to make it. You know, if nobody pays any attention to it, let me make another even bigger outlandish and another bigger outlandish and another bigger outlandish, you know, like threat every week, every other day until I don't know what. What are you gonna do? I mean, so let's just say he keeps making threats, right?
Mm-hmm.
We could just keep saying, yeah, sure, whatever, you know, and then I'm going to do it. So he goes and puts a bomb on a missile, something, whatever, and drops it. I mean, what the fuck's going to happen afterwards? I mean, he's toast. I mean, so I don't understand. How do we take this moron seriously? But he keeps – it's kind of entertaining, you know, to be honest with you, to a certain extent now. I mean, it's been a slow news cycle if you think about it. I mean, if we didn't have North Korea every other day, I mean, it'd be kind of boring.
Yeah. I mean, this is what – you know, 2 weeks ago we talked about how, you know, this was sort of a joke and they would do this. And, you know, then last week I said, okay, it probably is, you know, not going to – much of anything come of this, and of course it's suicide if North Korea decides to actually do something. But let's consider a worst case scenario a little bit, and in the worst case scenario things could get pretty bad. But you know, you got to look at this and say, look, the thing that I think is the clearest explanation of everything that's going on is that this is being done completely for internal purposes within North Korea. It's posturing. It's posturing that he's doing in order to, you know, rally the troops around him, get some support levels higher because, oh my God, there's a big threat and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he's counting on nobody actually like taking him seriously outside, and that nothing much will come of it in the end, and that, you know, this will all blow over. I think that's still, you know, the
or
most
maybe
likely
he is
scenario.
Suicidal.
Well, you know, but the thing is, it's not just one guy, and the one guy may not even be the one who's really in charge. You know, he may just be a figurehead. You know, we end up getting in, and we do this with all kinds of folks, like Ahmadinejad in Iran and all kinds of folks. We demonize the one person at the top and are like, it's all them. And yet, you know, even in dictatorships, you know, there's a whole ruling cadre that has to go along with anything that happens. And, you know, so it's not just the one guy that's suicidal. Like, you know, if all of the generals and the military around him and everything else thought he was doing something that was endangering all of the rest of them and their positions, you know, you have the slightest notion that they wouldn't off him?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, you see, because I don't, you know, who do we really know who's really in charge of that ship up there, really? Mm. How tight a leash does he have on everything? I mean, do we really know? I mean, I don't think we really truly know.
Yeah, maybe not, but I can't imagine it's like...
I mean, I don't know. I mean, he could really have a tight leash on all these fucking morons. I mean, maybe. You know, I have to think that the likelihood that this moron doing something that will topple the whole country is low. But listen, other people like this in this position have done such kind of stuff before anyway. Mm-hmm. They keep like going and then whatever, and you think, nah, he's not going to do something. Then they finally go and like cross the line way too far, and then, you know, boom, game over. It may well be that he'll do something. I mean, remember he did that a year and a half ago that he did this missile attack on a South Korean island?
Yeah.
And then South Korea didn't respond at the time. It was one of the reasons why whoever, the guy who was a president or whatever, I think, of South Korea lost the election. And the person that they put in place like right now has basically said that, you know what, next fucking time these assholes do anything like this, they're fucking going down.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, and you know, Kerry was just in China talking to the Chinese about, you know, I my vision is like, you know, him going and saying, you know, put a leash on your dog, you know, but basically going to the Chinese to say, get the North Koreans under control, because if they do anything, we're going to have to respond.
Right.
Now, I could imagine, you know, the Chinese, I have no idea what's really going on, of course, all of these conversations, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Chinese are like, look, we're going to try to put all our influence on them to tell them not to do anything. But if they do, we'll take care of it.
Yeah. I would hope.
You know?
I would hope. Because otherwise, I mean, it's, well, I don't know.
I mean, you know, nobody around this, you know, wants a war here. Except maybe the North Koreans.
Except maybe the North Koreans, yeah.
And I don't think they really do either. I think they're bluffing for internal politics reasons. It's just one of those, I believe I said this last week, you don't play games with this shit. You know, because yes, you know, probably it'll all blow over and nothing will happen. But when you get everybody up on tenterhooks and all worked up and anxious and blah, 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 then the slightest little incident can explode into something much bigger if everybody isn't careful. You know, and there are dozens and dozens of examples in human history of this. And, you know, you just don't, you know, I don't know. It's just... it's very irresponsible.
I know that it's very irresponsible, but we have a long, long history of having irresponsible, wacky people leading countries.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so, you know, I mean...
And I will say the U.S. in the last week has done a few things to de-escalate. They've canceled some maneuvers. They canceled an ICBM test that we were going to do because, you know, here we are threatening them if they do an ICBM test. It doesn't look all that great if we do one the same week. And I'm like, well, that's fine. We can do it. You just can't. Even though that's exactly what our position is.
Right.
You know, I've seen also a bunch of people talking about, you know, looking at the, and I guess Juan Cole is probably who I'm thinking of here, doing comparisons of how we're treating Iran and how we're treating North Korea. Because by all evidence, all sort of empirical evidence, you look at things like North Korea already has weapons. North Korea is belligerently threatening people, and blah, 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 and we're treating them one way. On the other hand, Iran, officially, their leader has time after time after time after time said nuclear weapons are a sin against Allah, and we will never build them. And they've had inspectors in, and they've had, you know, they've done this and this and this and this all to try to pacify Western demands. North Korea has never done any of that, but right. Yet we tend to typically, you know, if you look back prior to the last few weeks, you know, everybody's all worked up Iran about the Iranian threat, the Iranian threat, the Iranian threat. Meanwhile, North Korea is sitting there looking like it's much more of a threat than Iran is.
I know. But I just...
Of course, it's also an issue of who are they a threat to.
Right.
And that brings up two internal American politics. Is Israel feeling threatened more important than South Korea and Japan feeling threatened?
Or maybe it's just more a minimum than threat. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, North Korea, South Korea share a border. I mean,
talking about imminent threat is before the last couple weeks, there's always been more of an imminent threat from North Korea than Iran. But,
right.
But Iran gets all the attention.
Well, I think that I think that's been in part because I don't know why it's been. I mean, I got to be honest with you. Maybe it is just because if you think about it, I think we've had a whole bunch of Republicans more threaten war against Iran more than against, you know, North Korea, maybe. Would that be it, I guess?
I did see there was an editorial in the New York Times today, yesterday, sometime or other, basically saying, let's bomb North Korea now before it's too late.
Well, no, I mean, I'm saying over the last couple of years. I'm not saying like this week.
Yeah, no, okay? I know.
So I don't know. It's just I think that for whatever reason, I think the main reason is because we've been in Iraq and Afghanistan. We put so much focus in that area that I think we put North Korea back on a back burner. We always just said, they're idiots. Don't worry about it. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen.
And yeah, I think basically the notion with North Korea has been similar to the notion of Cuba, which is just, wait them out.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Right.
Now, the difference is, of course, you know, Cuba doesn't have nukes.
Right.
I mean, the one time they did led to a bit of a crisis, if you might remember.
Yeah, it was just a small one.
Yeah, just a small one.
Just a time. It nothing major.
Okay. Let's take a break. We'll see if the North Koreans nuke anybody before we talk again next week.
Would that be lovely?
Yeah. It would be such a mess.
Can you imagine if they nuke themselves by accident because they try to launch this missile and it really doesn't go and it just fucking like blows up in their face?
I could imagine that.
That's a high percentage of happening, you know.
Well, they've been saying, you know, the North Koreans couldn't really send a missile that would hit, you know, the U.S. mainland, but they certainly could hit South Korea, and they might be able to hit Japan.
Yeah, and they might be able to hit themselves because the fucking thing just blows up on the tarmac and probably just goes and just blows up. The fucking thing detonates. They just go and like fucking blow themselves up. Now that would be hilarious since they've had a number of spectacular missile failures. Okay, already.
Uh-huh.
So now that would be interesting.
Yeah. Let's hope that it de-escalates and we're done with it. But you know, if something else happens, we'll talk about it here. In the meantime, let's take another break and talk about the PC industry and the declining fortunes of said industry. We'll be back after this.
This is a break. Oh, yes, this is a break. This is a break because no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you. So this is a break. This is a wonderful break. A wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
Okay, Yvonne, tell us about how nobody's buying computers anymore.
Well, I mean, I think we've discussed this before about our trends of, like, computing and whatever.
Yep.
So, I
will repeat again. I have added to this by myself, where I had intended to buy a new computer in 2013. I have decided to wait until 2014, unless this thing drives me completely fucking crazy, which it threatens to do every week. But yes.
So, I mean, the thing has been that, I mean, we know people are changing their computer buying habits. They've been going tablet. It's been a big change. They were using more of their mobile devices. And yep. I think a discussion I was having, like, the other day at dinner is that, look, for what a lot of people do at home, unless you're a guy like me that runs his own home business, does a lot of spreadsheets, and does a lot of other stuff and whatever, most fucking people just with a tablet can read their fucking email, send out a couple of messages, pay a few bills, and get it done, and that's it. They don't need anything else. And yeah. So the latest results from I think it was Gartner and IDC both bore that there were double digit for the first time. We had a massive north of double-digit decline in PC shipments. One reason also they were saying that they were blaming was Windows 8, because everybody's now come to the conclusion that Windows 8 sucks.
Yeah.
Yes. That nobody is planning on upgrading to Windows 8, and nobody really cares. It's like a big yawn. And, you know, you've got companies that do need computers. It used to be companies upgraded computers every 3 years. Now they're stretching them to 4 or 5 years, like right now, because computers are actually lasting longer than they used to anyway. Mm-hmm. And so you've got this perfect storm just hitting the computing industry right now all at the same time.
Well, and I remember we talked like the week that the iPad was announced, we talked about how this was going to happen. You know, it was a question of how much time, but like it, right then and there, and certainly within a few months, it became very clear that for lots and lots of people, that like you said, that's enough. They can do everything they need. And you know, for some things you need a real keyboard, you know, but you know, if you need it, you can attach it and I guess small light laptops fit in this category too, but I mean the desktop has been dead forever. It's laptops that are going down now too, right?
Right, right.
You know, and
well, because the growth in the computer industry a couple of years before the iPad came out were these dumbass netbooks, okay? Which all they were was take a laptop, make it super shitty and cheap, and sell it. But that's what it was. I mean, I don't know if you ever tried a couple of those netbooks.
No,
but they were like, oh my God, they were just crap. I mean, I remember my mother-in-law bought one for one of her kids. It had such a tiny hard drive that they tried to put some stuff on it, and it just couldn't handle anything. It was just awful. I mean, this thing just – I tried it, and I'm like, the awful screen, the terrible keyboard. I'm like, who the hell's going to use this piece of crap? So that was what they were doing. All of a sudden, the tablet comes out and completely like makes that piece of shit like moot. And you know, well, now
what I've seen a couple times, and I don't see it often, but I think it's actually a reasonable thing to do, is people doing statistics on the computer industry that include the tablets, because they are computers.
That's correct. Yes, and there's a number of people that are doing that.
And you know, and what that you start seeing a different picture, of course. But of course, you still have, you know, some of the other tablets have had a little bit of traction, but that space is still mostly iPad.
Right.
You know,
over 50% still.
So some people are a little reluctant to put it in that way because it shows Apple really strong still.
Right. And that's the other thing where it's just been like everybody keeps talking about Apple losing momentum, but yet still, even like at this point, like, you know, tablets are growing so quickly and taking from such a much larger business, okay, than were the smartphone business in terms of revenue. That, I mean, my God, I mean, I looked at some of the numbers here. Let's see. These are the drops that we had. HP dropped first quarter 2012, 2013, 23.6% drop in shipments. I mean, by the way, they gained market share, which is a crazy thing, okay? 23.6, Dell down 11.2, Acer down 29.3%. I can never pronounce this name. Asus? Okay, down 3.5%. Other down 6.1%.
Talking to Yvonne. Why?
We made my circle.
You made your circle?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm almost done here. I'll be down in a few minutes.
We show you it.
Oh, in a little bit.
We show you it?
I'll be right back, Yvonne.
Sure.
We'll take a quick break and we'll continue.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, I'm back.
You know, so the one thing that's hilarious is that, you know, I'm looking at these numbers, right? So I always love how I used to work a lot with IDC in terms of me having to send company information to them for them to put market share information. And I got there, and every time they would send their forecasts, and I'm like, oh, yeah, IDC has posted the five-year projection on the PC industry. IDC sucks so bad at forecasting anything. They are just so incompetent. I don't understand why anybody pays money. I mean, they are good at telling you what happened. Their forecasts, their people that do it, are idiots, okay, in my opinion. Okay?
That's nice.
Well, look, every time I go and I look at a forecast and I'm like looking at it and they predict like some kind of like when crises happen or whatever or stuff is looking like shit. I remember 2001. I'm looking at their forecast and I'm like, dude, did you guys just forecast this? The economy's imploding like all over the place. You guys forecast this? Then I look at the actual numbers a year later. Oh, yeah, we missed our forecast by just a tad. Oh, yeah, like in space terms, only 500 million miles. You know, they missed like the forecast so badly. I'm like, it's just so they forecast. Let me put it this way. They only forecast a 7.7% decline in PC sales and it wound up being 14%. Okay, and the reality is like we talked about this when this came out. I mean, if you really were doing numbers, you really didn't think that these fucking people were getting hammered this hard. Honestly, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, and look, this is again like I think that the answer here is you need to be looking at all computing. You know, and
yes.
if you're not, it's the same thing as those folks. You know, what's the old saying about the people who ran the railroads not realizing that they weren't in the train business, they were in the transportation business?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and, you know, things
it's kind of funny because the picture of the article I'm looking at about this shows a picture of a train wreck. So there you go.
There you go. But, you know, this is the world is changing. How people are using computing resources are changing. It's going to accelerate even more. You know, I don't even know what we're going to be looking at 5-6 years ago. Maybe we'll all be wearing Google Glass. I don't know. But
Speaking of Google Glass, by the way, I'm looking at this article that I was looking at regarding this, and there was a quote on the side by somebody regarding Google Glass. It says, it was talking about some people who apparently walked into a social encounter and had Google Glass and they were leaving them on. Uh-huh. And it said, the quote says, people who left them on in social situations were openly called glass holes. Joel Hadick put in a post titled Messages from the Future, The Fate of Google Glass.
There you go.
So I guess.
And anyway, but, you know, yes, of course, the old traditional computers are going to decline. That's like a duh.
Yep.
It should be no different of a duh than the fact that sales of TRS-80s are down a bit from 1980.
They are? Really?
They might be.
Oh, Jesus.
And, you know, they're not many people buying Apple IIs anymore either.
I had a nice TRS-80. I like those things.
I never owned one, but I used them a lot, and I liked them. They were cool.
They were cool.
They were cool little machines. Yeah. But the point is, it's the same kind of thing, and so people shouldn't be. I mean, I understand this is tough for the companies who don't have an iPad.
Right.
But yeah, but they have to figure out that.
They can't be bitching too much. They had one in their hands and fucking shut it down. Like a couple of weeks. Oh, whoops.
You're talking whoops. HP now?
Right. Oh, whoops. Yeah. We're just going to pull out of it now. I mean, you want to talk about probably one of the most moronic business decisions in a long time. If that's not it, I don't know what is. Yeah, let's just go 2 years without one. Let's let our primary business just get absolutely butchered in the process.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. None of those other competitors have really fully gotten traction yet, although some are better than others and some are doing well. But I think
Samsung's gotten some decent traction with their Android tablets.
I was going to say, you got the same basic dynamic as you have in the phone space, which is basically you got Apple in number one and Samsung in number two, and everybody else is minor bit players.
Right, exactly right. So, we'll see.
I guess tablets is there are a couple more folks who, with their skinned Android stuff, are in the space, but it's a little different.
But they're all bit players. I mean, it's just the same thing. I mean, yeah. I mean, they're all really bit players. I mean, everybody that I've met that doesn't have an iPad, they have a Samsung tablet.
Mm.
I mean, I have not seen anybody who I've seen that if they have an alternate tablet, it's not. I mean, like, for example, have you ever seen a BlackBerry Playbook?
No, but you've seen Nooks and you've seen Fires and those kinds of
things,
right?
I've seen Nooks and Fires, yeah, but I think that those, honestly, I've never treated them as...
Because they're specialized. They're
exactly.
Now, the thing is, they've got a skin on it to sort of... But all of these Android things have skins from the manufacturer, and you're going to see more of that. And we've talked about before about Google losing its influence over Android because everybody's skinning it. And I talked last week about Facebook Home, the same kind of thing. You can install Android apps on those devices. So they're just as much an Android tablet as any of these other things.
Well, true. I mean, but what you're winding up is like, yeah, that's one thing that I'd forgotten about talking about, but junk like that fucking Google Home thing. I mean, I've been reading about it.
Facebook
I mean, it's just
home.
Facebook Home, whatever. It's just fucking that's just fucking shit. I mean, talk about crap. I mean, I just realized I'm like, you know, let me tell you something. I mean, everybody is talking about how a lot of people are coming, and I think, you know, a lot of people at Facebook fatigue. Okay, because right now Facebook, the problem is that it's turned into a junk service. It's just what it's turned.
The signal to noise ratio on Facebook seems to be going down by the week.
Oh my God. And it's like, I mean, seriously, I mean, just forget it. I mean, how in God's name would you want that your first fucking thing that you're looking at is just this fucking like this, display of ads and then shit before I'm able to get to anything else. No.
Yeah. Well, and definitely like a year, 2 years ago, you know, I do like to hear about what my friends are doing and getting, you know, pick their baby pictures and things like that. A lot of people don't care about that shit. I like seeing that.
I like seeing that. But what I'm looking at is definitely not that. It's for the most part, people sharing idiotic shit. I mean, it's just, I'm like, okay. I'm done. I'm over it. I mean, I'm just, you know, let me see. Crap. Let's see.
I'm actually surprised. I'm looking at mine and scrolling down right now.
Yeah.
And I was expecting to see a whole bunch of,
I
actually see the first thing is a personal picture from a friend. The next is someone high school who commenting on something. I'm scrolling down and scrolling down, and I had to go down like two screens worth before I found the person forwarding the stupid image, you know?
Junk, stupid image again, stupid image, junk, some ad, junk, crap. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm like, Jesus, like over half of the stuff on this is all horseshit. And here the worst thing is, I am even very picky about fucking like friended people, and I'm still getting all this garbage.
Anyway, the point of all this was that, you know, that what was the point? We had a point? No, the point was just that in the tablet space, only a couple of companies are really out there making money on it and really making a big impact. You could argue whether it's two or three, but it's only a couple companies that are really doing well there right now. And of course, this scares the rest of the computing industry. All of the old guys like HP aren't succeeding in that space yet.
Oh, they're fucked. I mean, they're just so fucked. It's not even funny. I don't know what the hell they're going to be doing, but I don't know. They're probably going to be selling tape recorders or something at this fucking point. I don't know.
And you know, Microsoft also fucked.
Well, I don't know if Microsoft's completely fucked, but they've got to change. They have been changing their business model to a certain extent. They've got other things, but I mean, here's one thing: their reluctance to make Microsoft Office available on Android and iOS is just retarded. That is a bigger money maker for them over life than the others. Them not making that is just stupid.
Yeah, I've heard there was
I heard that they are going to be doing it in the near future.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and I think there were some hang-ups about like Microsoft wanting to get like a special deal out of Apple or something, and Apple being like, "Here are standard terms."
Here's your and they've got absolutely no compelling reason to do a special deal with them. Why would they? I mean, why would they do them any favors? If they had done this like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, maybe, but right now, why? Suck it. I would say,
you know, and I think I've mentioned this before, but it came up in conversations recently, outside the podcast. You know, the other thing about Microsoft is, you know, I live in the Seattle area. I hear about, I work with a bunch of people who used to work at Microsoft.
Right.
Okay. And you know, I get emails from Microsoft recruiters probably once a month. Okay.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
And I usually tell them, I'm not looking to move right now. But you know, I periodically ask some of these folks who used to work at Microsoft, you know, about their experience there. And of course this is people who've left Microsoft. So that's a biased sample. I fully admit that, but I have yet to hear a single person I've talked to who came from Microsoft who had a single positive thing to say about it. Not one.
No, but you know what? It's not that biased a sample. Everybody leaves. Okay, eventually.
Yeah.
Everybody leaves. Okay? You don't stay anywhere forever. Okay? And, you know, I mean, if you're hearing that, I just had a friend of mine also left Microsoft. He also didn't have a lot of good things to say about working at Microsoft.
I mean, and all of the things, by the way, that when I say not good experience or whatever, I'm not talking about I had a bad boss or whatever. I'm talking about things about how the culture there was.
Well, and that's what I'm talking about.
In terms of like, not being conducive to getting things done, not being conducive to innovation, not being conducive to creativity, basically being a soul-sucking environment where people could sit there and do nothing for years. And, you know...
Let me put it to you this way. My guy got basically like raked over to Kohl's because Steve Ballmer came to visit. Okay, all right. And then apparently he was not sufficiently enthusiastic about meeting Steve Ballmer.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
I mean, he got raked over to Kohl's about not being sufficiently enthusiastic about kissing Steve Ballmer's ass. And I'm like, what the fuck? What is this, a dictatorship?
Yeah, and also overwhelming tales of bureaucracy. In terms of not being able to do a damn thing without approval from a billion people, and infighting between groups, and all this kind of stuff, and everything being more about the politics than about whatever you're actually trying to do. You know, I'm looking for like these people to like, you know, can't. Someone I talked to, and I've actually talked to one person who left Amazon to go to Microsoft. And, you know, when I talked to him, he's like, it's a job. That's the best thing I've ever heard. And it's like, I expect somebody to be like, oh, yeah, I'm working on this really cool thing, and it's fun. I've heard
the same shit. I've heard the same stuff. Okay. I mean,
And more than anything, that's why I think they're doomed.
I think so, too. I mean,
they've got this. They've got the huge cash cow. They may last years, but they're, you know,
well, they're not. They're not going to be. They're not going to be driving the agenda. Is what's happening. I mean, because listen, let me tell you something. For example, I was looking the other day. Unisys still exists. Okay,
I haven't heard that name in a while.
Well, exactly, but they still do exist. Now, for a brief period, 25 years ago, they were the largest computer company in the world. Hmm. Okay, now. I mean, but you know, even
but they probably do something completely different now.
Not that much.
Huh? Okay.
No.
Well, and we talked about IBM too. Of course, IBM is now a consulting company.
Basically, yeah. I mean, for the most part, they're a services and consulting company.
Right.
I mean, so with a whole bunch of hardware and software intermixed in there. But I mean, I'll tell you this: from a lot of people I talked to recently, I've heard more positive stuff told me about IBM than about Microsoft. So, I mean, that should scare Microsoft. I mean, so, but I don't know. Look, they've got, like we said, you know, believe me, if Unisys is still around, fuck, Microsoft will be around for
a long time. I'm not saying they'll go bankrupt, but they're, you know, they were so omnipresent just a few years ago.
Right.
And those days are never coming back. And
Definitely the Surface is not going to cut it. That's for sure.
No, I haven't heard anything good about the Surface either. People were hanging out for the Surface Pro, and then it came out, and people were like, "Oh."
Anyway, it's like somebody the other day is like, I was at a meeting, and like the guy's saying, "Well, you know, this guy, you know," and I'm like, "Well, what about the Surface? What about Surface?" I'm like, "Okay, great. You want to buy a tablet that's like technology's like, you know." Whatever, it's like the battery life is like 70%, you know, 3% less than competing tablets. Really? That's what you want? I don't think so.
I will admit, though, once, a couple months ago, I actually saw a Surface in the wild.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Two Surfaces, actually. There were two people sitting at a table, both wearing their Surfaces.
Now, those two must have been Microsoft employees.
No, quite possibly. But, you know, hey.
Now, well, that is quite better than how many people you and I have seen with a BlackBerry playbook, which apparently has been zero.
Oh, I saw, what's the new BlackBerry, Z10 or whatever?
Yes.
I just driving down the street in Seattle the other day, I saw a van that was a BlackBerry Z10 van that had the back doors of the van open, and you could, like, walk in and see a demo of the Z10 or whatever. And I'm like, really? A van?
I don't know what
that, this wasn't even the, this wasn't like a mobile home or a truck. It was just a little fan.
Dude, I don't know, Black, but the people at BlackBerry have lost their marbles. I went to downtown Miami like about 6 months ago or so, and there were like there was these guys with like hanging around with BlackBerry t-shirts trying to do some kind of like a flash mob promo for BlackBerry. That's the promotion they're doing. I'm like, really? This is how you think you're gonna get people to fucking buy more of these pieces of shit? They're, you know, anyway.
That's another one of those dead company walkings.
Yes. All right, we're done.
I think we're done. Did you want to say anything about Chavez, the election, Venezuela?
Oh gosh, I was hoping to see if maybe they'd come up with some results right now, but not yet. Polls closed. Still don't know yet. Everybody's, you know, hoping the dear guy won, but who knows yet? We'll see.
Well, and your prediction from our prediction shows was that the country was going to dissolve into chaos and the vice president would not become president.
Yeah.
And he's been acting president for a while now, regardless of what happens. So
that's right. That's right. Well, I think that if he wins, there's still going to be a lot of chaos. So we'll see.
We'll see. Okay. Well, thanks for thanks everybody for joining us. This has been another Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, or if you have expertise on some of the stuff that we've been talking about that we obviously don't like. We probably mashed up Bitcoin a good deal, and we clearly aren't experts on North Korea either, and you know, whatever. So if you're an expert on North Korea and want to talk to us, we would love to have you. In the meantime, have a good week. Goodbye, and tune in next time. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.